It's not optimal, but it'll work. So, amen. All right. So, welcome, everybody. You get me for a wonderful week. And then the week after that. And then the week after that. And then the week after that. It's called a month. Yes! It's a month! That's it! Who happens to also know calendars. Amen. So, this wonderful month, we will be talking about transformation. So, God just kind of brought this about through just time spending with Him and studying and giving me some things that I think we could really all benefit from. And the first thing that we're going to talk about today is the mind. So before we get into this though, there's something that we need to understand about just general belief. Okay. So we're all on the same page because this series of messages works if we're all on the same page. Amen. All right. So three keys. The first key is that you were created by God in His image. Amen? Every part of your makeup was made by Him. So that means He is the creator, He is the author and finisher of your life. He knows you intimately, He knows every hair on your head, He knows your organ system, He's made you complete. Okay? What does that mean? You're not defective. All right. Key two. What I already started. God did not make you flawed. Okay? Sin has brought corruption to what God has made perfect. So any imperfection is not of God, but is of sin or birth from sin. Okay? So you have to understand that. So that is key. We all agree here. Are we on the same page? Very good. Key three is that the areas of our lives that have suffered from the corruption of sin do not disqualify us, but rather give room for Jesus to redeem and transform those areas to their incorruptible state. You are not disqualified because of anything you have done at all. There is nothing that separates us from the love of Jesus Christ. Okay? Nothing. You can't name something that I'm going to go, ooh, wait, no, that might be on the naughty list. No, doesn't exist. Okay? This is all agreeable? Okay. So the reason we're going to start here today with the mind is really because it's that important. It's truly that important. Okay? And to give us a good starting point to understand why this is so important, I'm going to give you guys a quote. Now, this quote has been quoted a lot. And it really was hard to find out who quoted it. Like, they couldn't even discover the origin of this quote. It's been quoted over and over and rebranded so many times. To find the original origin was just near impossible. But it goes back to probably 1913 or something of that nature. But you've heard it before, and I'll give it to you now. Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. And that is a very powerful quote. Okay? If you want to try and figure out who did it, good luck. You'll get a bunch of different people, some Chinese proverb guy, somebody thought Margaret Thatcher said it because of what's-her-face in the movie had quoted that, and that's not true. Now, Margaret Thatcher never even said the quote, so, you know, the internet. But let's talk about why the mind. Why is the mind this intense battleground that it is? Okay? Turn with me to Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 26, and I am going to not apologize, but prepare you. There is a lot of scripture today. So if you're highlighting, make sure you have extra highlighters. If you're underlining, make sure your pen is solid, because you got a lot to do. Thank you, Brother Ken. I appreciate it. Your hard work and diligence last night. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. And if you go ahead and you open up Proverbs and you read, and they have like kind of those titles at the top of all the Proverbs, this proverb was really building upon the foundation principles of wisdom. Right? Which a lot of Proverbs were. But this was focused on the importance of that wisdom, okay? And what wisdom does is wisdom is the, really the proponent of being able to judge things, okay? You're able to make judgments and just decisions based on wisdom. Yes? Anybody who got wisdom? I got a bunch, if y'all didn't know. It's my crown of wisdom. That's what the Bible tells me. I'm going to lay there and just continue to hold on to that. Because that's what it is to me. But if we allow our minds to be corrupted through evil thoughts, what suffers? Your heart. And think about this for a minute. Wouldn't you, if you were the enemy, the main strategist that stands in the complete opposition of everything God wants to do in redeeming all of mankind back to Him, don't you think if I could get any grasp on one area that I can start knocking you down, that I want to get to the one place that's easiest, but also has the most impact on your heart, which is the dwelling place of our Lord? Seems like a no-brainer to me, right? I think that's exactly what he's planning, and that is what he's planning. So, all the more reason to allow what to happen to our minds. What do we need to do to our minds? We need to have them renewed. We also need to have them transformed, right? Because it starts with have your minds transformed by what? Renewing of your mind through the washing of the word. So this, and that's going to be up there in a few. Don't worry about it. You don't have to hind it down. All right. This is allowing us to have that complete, clear understanding to things that God's revealing and what God wants to do in our lives. Okay. Here's the key. And this is super duper important. So if you want to write something down throughout this whole entire sermon, write this piece down. This actually requires that your mind is governed by a standard that determines what is good and evil. Hear me. That means you are submitting your mind to a government that tells you this is good and this is evil. Now, do you think your United States government is a good teller of what is good and evil? So why would we worry about what they, why would we think that they should rule our mind? We shouldn't, right? Who should be the one who governs your mind? God should. Right? Because I think he's pretty much the best judge of what is good and evil. Can we agree? Amen. This is all easy stuff, right? Not hard yet. 2 Corinthians, Dylan. Chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. And I can read this for you guys. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is huge. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And guess what? I can't tell you how many times I've read this and I never read that part at the end. And I'm like, well, that's humbling. It means, guess what you shouldn't be doing? You shouldn't be pointing at other people's problems until you got yours figured out. That's what it means. Seriously. There's a lot of scriptures talk about that, but that's what it's talking about. Don't worry about punishing disobedience in the world until your obedience is fulfilled. And that obedience means what? You're taking every thought captive into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every single thought. Can you imagine? Do you know what it's like being a guy, women? Do you have any idea how many thoughts run through our mind that are not good in a day? It's too many. It's just too many. But we're held to that. We are held to that. Every single one of those thoughts need to be surrendered into captivity and obedience under Jesus Christ. It's true. How many times have you been cut off in traffic and you wanted to go tell that person a little bit about themselves? Take that thought, give it to God, surrender it, and then say God bless you as you drive by, waving at them with a smile. Because that's what it means. It's not an easy task, is it? It's a big ask and not an easy task. But let's take a look at this from a big perspective now. We take all that quote that was there before, right? And if we make Jesus the sift, you know what a sift is, right? It's like, you know, okay? That all of your thoughts pass through, this is what you can guarantee, okay? Your words will produce life. Go ahead, Dill. Proverbs 10 verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So, if we allow our thoughts to be governed by Christ, what do we get out of our mouth? We get a well of life. We can speak life into all things. Sounds like a plan to me. Next thing is that those words actually have equal actions. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So that means now, if those words, those thoughts that I have are governed, right? By God, I have them captured, they're governed by God. Then I have words that come out of my mouth that are based off of that governed thought, right? Then I have actions that line up with that. Now I'm doing the word of God, right? Next up is that now you're going to continue those actions, right? They repeat and they create good godly examples. 2 Thessalonians 3:7-9 says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. We were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but we worked with labor and toil night and day that we may not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. They could have told everybody what to do, but no, they didn't. They worked and they set an example to everyone who would follow them after, that this is how we represent God's kingdom. We repeat good acts, and good acts have what? Good fruit. There's an abundance now. There's multiplication now. They're multiplying these good deeds into those who are following behind them, right? So then what happens after that, according to that quote? Those things, those habits become what? They become traits that make up your character. Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So through this constant exemplification of all these acts that we do, we start to become this elect of God, holy and beloved. We wear these things as garments. Why? Because it's who you become. You can't go to work at Best Buy wearing a McDonald's shirt. Right? Because they're not going to know you work there. They're going to think you work. You're a customer. But if you represent God's kingdom and you're doing His work, then guess what you start to look like? An employee of God's kingdom. You're dressed and look the part. Okay? And you start to have these attributes. These start to become part of your character. Right? And then lastly, Christ's character then aligns our destiny to the purpose that we were called to. Romans 8:28 through 29 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That means everything that he has started with. Remember what we started with. He created you, right? He knows you intimately. He knows every part of your makeup. He made you for something specific. He's giving you a plan and a purpose and a goal in life. And he's built you to achieve it. Now, what did the enemy want to do? Do you think the enemy wanted you to just go ahead and succeed? No. Because your success means his downfall. Because your success grows the kingdom of God. Your success means you are doing the things that bring glory to God's name. You are a great and wonderful ambassador of Jesus Christ. You represent him well. Guess what that does? It causes others to go, "I want that. I want that in my life. What do I need to do to have that in my life?" And you go, "Well, you already have it because God created you. You just need to start conforming to the image of his son." How do I do that? Well, first you need to be set free from sin. How do I do that? Well, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then the work begins. He starts pulling out all the junk. He starts transforming your mind. He starts changing your thought life. He starts changing your habits. He starts changing your workplace. He starts changing everything in your life. And it's not because he is an ogre and a tyrant. No, it's because you were on the wrong path for so long. He's now trying to reestablish you to where you need to be, doing what he's told you to do. Because he's built you for success, and it's in his plan, not our plan. And here's the game plan that the enemy wants to do. See, this is the inception point. Your mind is the inception point. Think about it for a minute, right? God created us in his image. This plant in your head, this chemical compound of electric neurons and facilities and all these things that happen that I don't even know the scientific terms for at all, okay? Give you the ability to create, just like God created. In your mind is a potential for so much, the enemy fears it. Hear me. The enemy fears the power that is in your mind. That is why he goes, "Hey, did you ever think of this?" and puts it in your brain. And then you're thinking about something that you shouldn't be thinking about right now. And he does it all day long. And now, here's the bigger part of that. Why does he do it all day long? Because he's bored? No, that's not why. Because maybe he'll get you to slip up. Nope, that's not why either. If you're busy trying to sit there and fence off thought after thought after thought after thought after thought, what do you think you're not doing? You're not focusing on him. You're not focusing on God's will and purpose in your life. You're not focusing on the things that he has for you to do. No, you're busy trying to find the bad stuff in your life. That's why he wants your mind transformed. Because you're sitting there and you're doing something out of a religious practice that you don't need to do, because he's given you the provision to have a transformed mind that no longer has to sit here and worry about what the enemy's plots and plans are in your mind. See, it's like a defense system, right? You get your house. You got a brand new house. Brand new apartment coming soon. Okay? And you have nice things. How many people have nice things in their house? I have nice things in my house, okay? But if you live in a neighborhood that's not so nice, what do you think you want to do to protect your belongings? Get the Sloman Shield. Remember that? They don't even have that anymore. Does that even exist anymore? Is Brinks, I think, now is all they have? I don't even know anymore. But you get a security system, right? And you get your password, and your password is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh my God, it's crazy. Mine too. Right? And that was a serious 8888 is 8888. And you turn around and you get a security system, and that works as a protection mechanism to protect your belongings, right? What more do you think you need to have in your mind then? See, that's what God's trying to do. God's trying to actually give us the actual formula, the plans to establish a security defense system in your mind. That your mind now becomes protected. See, that taking thoughts captive, it becomes an exercise until you get that thing installed. See, what you end up doing is you end up locking and loading every night, walking around your front yard going, ain't nobody coming in my house. Nope, not gonna happen. Better not fall asleep. You get exhausted. That's right. You get exhausted trying to take every thought captive. Remember I started about being a guy and having to worry about all those thoughts that come into our head all day long? Huh. Could you imagine having to sit there and sift through all of them? It'd be like a Rolodex that never ends. I remember it was like a cartoon or something. They said like, oh, pull out this file. And the guy gets the filing cabinet and pulls it out and it goes like forever. That's men's thoughts in one day. Okay. And you're trying to sift through them. You're going to be exhausted. All the more reason we need that defense mechanism, right? We need that defense system. So, what does the enemy try to do? What does he try to do? Well, I'm going to give you some of his tactics, okay? All right? He floods your minds with doubt and lies, right? Because he wants to ensnare you in the thoughts that prevent you from starting this process, okay? It's the same tactic he used on Eve in the garden. Check me. You don't have to go far to check me. It's right there in the beginning of the book. Okay? You don't have to go far. All right? There's so much inactivity in the Christian faith that stems from minds that are either content in entertaining carnal thoughts or that are debilitated by guilt and condemnation, which, by the way, does not come from God. Okay? These are thoughts that the enemy has planted and that were not taken captive. And so you've fallen into a rut, as we call it. The reality of it is that guess what? If you're there, I got good news. That's actually a Christian pun. Do you know that? I got good news. When somebody says I got good news, I got good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right. Because he's dealt with all of those bondage elements. Those things that the enemy has planted in your mind. Those thoughts that you didn't take captive because you didn't know. You didn't know better. You're not held to that. He set you free. He's paid for it. He's broken those chains of bondage. You're not held down. You can be free from that. He's given us the power to transform. Come on, Dylan. Give me that next one. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Told you it was coming. By the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable perfect will of God. There it is. There it is. Right? So what gives us the power to be transformed? Right? We said the renewing of the mind. What is that done by? By the washing of His Word. So that means there is an integral element. You want to install a security system in your mind? Guess what you're going to have to start doing? Making an investment. Right? You want to go and get in a security system in your home? It's going to cost you something. Right? It's going to cost you De Niro. Not Robert. It's going to cost you moolah. Money. Probably a good chunk of it. I'm not sure how much it costs for those things, but I'm pretty sure it's pricey. Because they want to guarantee you're protected. So they have a security camera thing. They have lasers and sensors and all kinds of stuff that your cat sets off in the middle of the night. And they have, you know, like the doorbell thing that you can have like on your phone and see when somebody comes and delivers a package or steals a package or whatever. You know, all these wonderful things. That all costs money. And not only that, but they're monitored, right? They got like some people in the back that are just sitting there watching your house all day long. You got to pay for those people to watch all that stuff, right? So it costs you something. Well, guess what? It's no different here. Did God make provision? Absolutely. Does it cost you something? Yeah, it does. It costs you time and energy to spend in His Word. Because if you're not doing anything and making an investment into the security system of having your mind renewed by the washing of His Word, your mind will not get transformed. It's a formula. It's simple. But we get upset because we don't have Him. And then we go, why, God? Why? And you're wondering, why aren't you answering me, God? And He's saying, it's in here. I've given it to you already. Come get it. Just like He was calling us out to come and get His water. You have to come. You have to grab it. You have to get it in your hands. He's provided everything. You actually have to participate in Christianity. Oh my goodness gracious. What? Yes. We're not Catholic. You participate here. Okay? The priest doesn't do it for you. I'm not doing it for you. So forget about it. It's not happening. All right? So in this regard, our change is related to these two things, right? It's related to how much we know the Word. That's step one. The next thing is how much of this comes out of your mouth. Because it does no good if it's just sitting in here. Because let's go back, right? What do those thoughts have to become in order to actually become your destiny? Those thoughts have to come out as words. Those words become actions. Those actions form godly habits. Those godly habits form my character. That character becomes my destiny. But if I get my head filled with God's word, but I don't open my mouth, the buck stopped right there. That's like having an alarm system on your house that has that like quiet whistle that only dogs can hear. So the only way your alarm system's really going to work is if you're like in a town full of dogs. Other than that, nobody's going to know your alarm's going off. Right? Think about that. Is that really an effective alarm system? Just saying. I don't think it's very effective. I mean, I don't know anything, but what do I know? So let's start with how that power is in your tongue. Right? Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So if you open your mouth, out of it flows life, but also flows death. So guess what that means? That doesn't mean, oh, whoa, whoa, wait, death. Whoa, that's bad. Whoa. Hold on a second. I don't know about you, but I'd like to put to death certain things in my life that are not good for me. Right? How many people want to put to death their debt? Speak it! Amen. Speak it! I'm telling you, right? I'm telling you, you have the power to speak over those areas in your life, but we don't. And we cry and bellyache to God that we don't have enough money. Why aren't you telling it to die? I'm just saying. God will do it. Because He's given you the power and the authority to do so. If it's in His Word and it aligns with His Word. So guess what? You know what my Bible says about debt? You're not supposed to be in it. If you're in it, then you better start telling it to die. That simple. Because there it is. You have His Word. If you're using His Word as the weapon of warfare that it is to battle over those strongholds, you have victory. Because it's in His Word. He's now responsible to do His job. I'm not lying yet. I'm never lying, but that's besides the point. But sometimes people doubt me. I don't know why. By those words that we hear. So get this, right? You turn around and you speak it. Guess what happens? Not only does those forces and all those people around you hear those words, but you know who else hears those words? You do. You hear them. So guess what? You know what that does? Has anybody ever done this? I'll tell you. My wife is good at this. She's so good. She will get me to say something. And now that I've said it, I'm a accountable. Y'all are good. Y'all are just sneaky good. I'm telling you, you get us. But you said, I did say, that means I gotta go to this flower show. You get us. I'm telling you, but you're good. But when you say it, guess what now you have to do? You have to follow through or else you lack integrity. So if you're a man of integrity, guess what you're going to do? You're going to step up. You're going to do what you said you were going to do. If we're going to say something that God's word says in our lives, do you think we need to represent that well as stewards of God's word? Yeah, I think so, right? So when you hear your own words come out of your mouth, guess what you're going to do? You're not going to backpedal out of it. You're going to do it. Because you don't want to make God a liar. And you don't want to be held onto that, right? So let's step up. So what does it say about that? James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Well, that is too good to be true. So wait a minute. I read his word. I say what it is that he says for me to do. I do it and then I'm blessed. Come on now. Come on now. Why are we inactive, church? Why are we inactive? There's good things for being active. There's great things. But we're belly aching and complaining. Come on. No more belly aching. Let's go. By continuing to practice this, right, we then become living examples of God's work. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So now my actions start to develop in me a lifestyle that is actually a good, godly example to all those around me. Not those who don't believe, but also to those who believe. Because guess what? The ones who believe and know what the word says are going to be going, wow, he actually knows the word and is doing it. I want to do what he's doing. I want to do that. And here's the catch. Here's the big tamale. Go ahead, Dill. Got a lot. Thank you. Ephesians. My favorite book. Pastor's favorite book. 4:11-18. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's all that stuff that's going against you guys, okay? Right? But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. I say this, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Get it, church? Take that whole scripture passage, write it down, soak it in, because everything is in there. If you are not having your mind transformed, you're existing in a state where your mind is being darkened. And what is the attempt of the enemy doing? He's trying to alienate you. He wants to alienate you. And here's the thing, Dylan, go back one, please. There's a reason why. Because you are part of the body of Christ that is needed for the effective work that he has established you in. There's an effective work that not just me has to do, but all of us have to do. We are one body. We have all a part to play, and we need each other to achieve the utter will of God for all, not just here. It's bigger. It's bigger. We heard that, right? It's bigger on the inside. I think that was coming out a couple days ago or weeks ago or whatever, right? This is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. You're part of a huge, huge body. And you have an important role. Think about this. Does anybody know what sickle cell anemia is? One sickle cell can kill you. One blood cell. The whole body could be perfectly working fine. One blood cell can knock you down. Don't tell me you're not important. You are. You are. Every one of you are. And every one of you have a destiny. And it starts with your mind. Because where your thinking is, there you are also. But if we have our minds transformed and we spend that time that we need investing in our own self-defense, our security system for our brains that protects us from the enemy, we become the arsenal that he can't handle. We became what we're supposed to be and he can't do anything to stop us. I'm not singing it. Don't even try. Ain't no stopping us now. No. I've done it before. I'm not doing it today. See, the mind has the power to take small electrical pulses that calculate and form images, words, colors, shapes, right? These then become ideas, phrases, visions, plans. If God is governing that processor of power, we become the benefactors of being submitted to him and the blessings that obedience promotes. Because guess what? You only get blessed if you're obedient. Just going to put that out there. The blessed are the obedient. Okay? Ideas and visions for self-start businesses, right? Words and speeches that impact lives. This is what a transformed mind has the ability to accomplish. See, inside here is a wellspring of so much power. That is why the enemy wants it derailed. Not only do you not get to your destiny, but you also don't have anything in your life of substance. Everything that you could create and imagine is sucked dry and blown away by some futile thought that fleets and runs away. So my challenge to you guys today is this. I want everybody to do this week. Go on a journey with God through his word. Go on a journey. Go somewhere different. Try something new. There's a lot of different places to go. Roll your oyster. Have fun. Seriously. But then take some moments. What is he revealing to you? Do you need to clean up your thoughts and start taking them captive? Do you have to spend more time in his word so that your speech aligns with his? Lastly, start speaking the word of God over yourself and those that you have charge over. And then observe. And see what comes of it. Because I will promise you, if you have not seen the hand of God move in your life or those of that you have charge over, start speaking the word of God over them. Start speaking the word of God over their life. Watch what he does. Because what can I tell you about his word? One thing I can tell you is that it never returns void. It always does what it has set out to accomplish. Always. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are the governor of our minds, God, that you are the one who has given us the formula, the process to have our minds renewed, to be washed thoroughly in your word, that you have given us your word to us, God. And it's not held in some lock and key chamber, God, but it's readily accessible for us, God. And it's time that we use it, Lord. It's time that we become equipped, God. It's time that we have our minds renewed and transform them to minds that are focused and directed by you, God. So we surrender to you today, God. We surrender our minds, God. We surrender our thought life, God. We surrender everything in that process, God, that you would start taking all of those thoughts that are not of you, God, discarding them, God, and allowing us to take captive those thoughts that are of you, God, and focusing and fixating on you, God, and allowing our speech to be changed, and allowing our actions to be changed, and allowing our destiny to be shaped and formed and molded by what you've already set forth, God. Let us become the ambassadors that you have called us to be, God. And let us start by surrendering our mind to you, God. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its provision in our lives. We thank you for this day that you have made and blessed it richly with your presence. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.